Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was really a subpar parent this last week. That's really how I feel about it. Maybe that's part of what I'm feeling today, is still some of that lingering after effect of that. This last week or so, I have been crabby and snippy and just tense. My temper's been short. I've been very easily frustrated and snappy. I had a lot of meetings the last week or so. Actually, I apologize because there's actually even people here who I honestly intended to call, and it just didn't happen. I think I ended up clocking about, I tried counting and finally gave up. I believe it was a little over 20 different meetings with people during the week. And it really just, it ate up some time. They were all good. They were good things. They were important. But even beyond that, I mentioned this in the children's sermon, Archer's been sick. He has an ear infection again. Yay. He has pink eye. Yay. Don't worry, he's on antibiotics, so it's okay to be around him. And he's teething again. Because he's 11 months old, and now he has 14 teeth, which is ridiculous. So sleep has been in short supply around the Odie household. In fact, I think Sarah, she's doing better than I am, because she's much more even keel. I thought she heard that. Oh, she did hear that. There you go, you're waving. Okay, good. I was trying to get some points right there. But no, it's just been, and then Tavin has had cabin fever. Because with Archer being so sick, we really haven't gone anywhere. And the weather was a little subpar, so letting him outside, it's been very, in short doses. So he's just been, we'll put it that way. So I've been crabby. I've been very, very short-tempered. And yesterday it finally reached a head. It finally just hit this point around lunchtime or so where I just decided I needed to leave the house. And Sarah's shaking her head. She said, I decided you needed to leave the house. She's right. She decided I needed to leave the house. And she was right then, too. And so I went to my happy place. I went to my happy place, which is Ivers. I thought they did a lot. I like there. It's just kind of safe and comfortable for me. So I go there, and I have my meal. And I'm thinking about how I've been behaving. And I'm really just kind of frustrated with myself now and how I've been behaving. And so I just kind of made this conscious decision as I'm sitting there that I'm just going to stop it. I'm just going to stop being so crabby and snappy and everything else. And so I come home after eating and I walk through the door. And the first thing I say to Sarah is, I'm happy to report that your husband is back. I don't know who that guy was who was hanging out around here, but I've asked him not to return. I make no promises that he won't at some point. And yeah. It was a rough week. I've mentioned Greek to you a couple times before. And the word in Greek for breath is also the same word that is used for wind. And it is used for spirit. Today in the reading, the Acts reading, you may have noticed that it says to us that Paul was breathing murder. He was breathing, what's the exact quote? Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, still breathing threats and murder. In essence, still breathing the spirit of evil. You follow me there? The same words are used for breath, for wind, for spirit. And so frequently in the Old Testament, when we see references to either of any of those, you can kind of mentally imagine the other options are available as well. So the Holy Spirit is also the holy breath, the holy wind. And this makes sense if you think about the times in Scripture that we see Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit towards his disciples. But here in Acts, we have the opposite. We have, dare I say, an evil spirit that Paul is infected with. I keep calling him Paul, though technically he's Saul at that point. Are there evil spirits? I halfway ask you seriously, are there evil spirits? I'll be honest with you. I've not often allowed myself to ponder such a thing. It was much more comfortable, much easier to think that, no, that's ridiculous, that's silly, that's child talk. I kind of rationally convinced myself of this until seminary, when I spent a summer working at the Napa State Mental Hospital as a chaplain. And I invested most of my time and energy while I was there on the sexual predator unit. I won't share any of my stories from there right now. But I got to meet people who had done some horrible things. Some horrible things that they were all too happy to share. And at that moment, I must confess that my desire to believe that such a thing was not possible, it crumbled. A couple weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we had a baptism, right? During the sunrise service. Some of you were here for that. And at that moment in that service, there's a part where we actually say that we renounce all the forces of evil, all the things that rebel against God and God's goodness. And I think that's actually a really important part of our walk in faith. I'm glad it's included in the baptismal service, because the ways in which evil shows itself are big and they are small. I mentioned briefly this experience I had at Napa State with some of the predators there. A couple days ago, I was meeting with the other clergy in the area, the other pastors, to talk about the readings for today. And one of them was bringing up just the idea of just the little troubles that show up in community, the little troubles that show up in church life. This person was reflecting specifically on some things in her own congregation. But the little troubles, the little seemingly innocuous, the little tiny things that distract us from ministry, you know, things like rumors and gossip and grudges. And this person was expressing some frustration with those elements of her experience of life in the call in which she was serving. Now, I know that you all know that grudges and rumors and gossip never happens here. Never has, never will. Right? No, of course it will, because we're human. Because even though we have this baptismal promise where we have sworn that we will reject all the things that rebel against God, we're still human, we're still fallible, we're still broken, we're still in debt to sin, or at least... yeah. Did I tell you the story once about something that happened at a church I served at involving an Advent candle? Corliss is nodding, so maybe she remembers. No, you don't? Okay. Short version. I was involved in a congregation where there was a tradition every year in which a certain Advent wreath was used. Okay? That the tradition was this certain wrought iron, not even wrought iron, it was like chicken wire, a wreath. Fresh greens would be put in it every year. You follow me? And the candles would be put in and used during service. And it was neat. It was a neat little tradition. And one year, someone in the congregation decided, the person who'd done this for quite a while, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick of doing it. Someone else do this. And lo and behold, another woman in the congregation, a younger, newer member, she said, well, I'll do it. I will take care of the Advent wreath. There was a problem, though. No one had told her the importance of the chicken wire wreath. So what do you think happened? She brought in a different wreath. It's a beautiful wreath. I gotta be honest with you, I mean, aesthetically, it actually looked a lot nicer than the ones I had seen done in the other one. That didn't matter. That morning before worship, the older woman who had done this for years, who had said, "I don't want to do this anymore, someone take care of it," blew up at the newer woman over this wreath that she had never said, "This is how it must be done." What do you think happened next? There were tears. There was frustration. The other woman left, actually. Got her back sporadically. At least that's what I'm told, that she eventually came back. But it was over a wreath. I honestly believe that was not the Holy Spirit at work. Maybe you disagree, I don't know, but I honestly don't think that the Holy Spirit looked at that moment and blessed it and said, "This is beautiful. This is good. Look, conflict over an Advent wreath." Something that, ironically enough, isn't even a church thing. Comes just out of cultural practices from Northern Europe. But hey, whatever. Let's beat each other up over it. Side note, the person who was the most upset of Bill went to do that wreath the next time around. Because, you know. We've been through a lot here this past year together. I think. I honestly do. We've been through this time of getting to know one another. And that continues. I know we're going to do some more house meetings again in the near future. Opportunities to sit down together. And believe it or not, when we do it the next time, I will be more deliberate about talking less and listening more. Kelly's shaking her head. I won't have a whiteboard, so I'll have no choice. I'll have to listen. That reference, if any of you have not sat in a class with me or just had a meeting with me, it is borderline impossible for me to not get up in the middle of the meeting and start drawing on a whiteboard to illustrate a point. It's just what I do. Anyway. We've been through a lot. But we've got a lot ahead of us, too. We really do. We have seen new faces coming into the community. And we have seen, I won't say old faces, familiar faces return. And that is awesome. And that is blessed. But that also means that there has been and will be change. Changes have happened. Some of them have been bigger. Some have been smaller. Some have been subtle. Some have been more obvious. And with change, there is always that temptation to give in to those spirits that tell us to buck, to doubt, to poke. This coming week, I'm getting together with several people to talk about how we handle property maintenance here. I've mentioned it somewhat in the past. But it won't just be people from the community we know as Bethel Lutheran Church who are meeting to have this conversation. There are people from some of the other worship groups that use space here who will be at that meeting. They'll be the CEO or the director of Aaron's Place, the day center that we have for folks with various disabilities. There's going to be a lot of people there who aren't in the circle. Which means it's not safe, in a sense. Which means that we're taking a risk. We're stepping outside of our comfort zone and finding new ways to interact with people. And I know that over time there will be doubts that will come from that. Maybe it's fears about someone having a key or knowing a security code. Maybe it's concerns about someone who doesn't know the Bethel way having access to space. Last Thursday in our council meeting, we had a very great conversation about the way in which council functions, its role, and ways in which to help that body become less of an administrative approval board, and more of a body that's role is directing and guiding the mission of this congregation. But that means change. That means rethinking how our committee's focus work together. It means maybe new people showing up in council. It means people who were not accustomed to seeing in positions of leadership taking positions of leadership. And with that comes doubt and concern. This isn't how we do things. I'm uncomfortable with this. And I would offer to you that when we feel that, we've got to be careful. Because yeah, sometimes doubts and concerns are the work of the Holy Spirit, but not always. You follow me? Good, don't people nod.
Don't worry, we're wrapping it up soon. Oh, that's the other one.
I've been bubbling over this morning because last night I couldn't sleep. And it wasn't an Archer teething thing. It was because as I was trying to get ready for bed, this idea started popping into my head of what an additional worship service here could look like. I'm actually really excited about the possibilities, but I also know that with changes like that comes fear. Because then there's the fear of having two worship bodies. And how do we maintain that cohesion of what we call Bethel Lutheran Church? Because let's be honest, whenever you have multiple worship services, that is part of the fear, is how do we maintain fellowship, even if we don't gather to worship at one time in one place? But at the same time, we all say that we want to grow the body of Christ. Right? So we have to be open to where the Spirit will take us on that. Just all these things coming up that no one specifically has said anything about. Don't worry, I've mentioned to you before, this isn't my way of calling anybody out. I promise you, I would just go and talk to you if that was the situation. But I know there's the potential. I know there's the potential for those little things, those little evils, those gossiping and you know, passive aggressiveness and triangulation and all of those things. It's always possible when there is change, when there is uncertainty. And so I guess what I'm getting with all of this is I just want to make sure that we go into the future recognizing that we are called not to be as Saul was here, not to be filled with the spirit of malintent. Saul thought what he was doing was for the best. Realize that? When Saul was arresting the followers of Christ, he thought what he was doing was right. He thought what he was doing was for the greater good. I don't think it was. God sure didn't seem to think it was. Last week, you remember what the gospel text was? Anyway. Doubting Thomas. There we go. Good job. I think some days before the sermon, I'm going to make you all stand up and just stretch. And then we'll go. Do you remember what Jesus did when he showed up to the disciples before the whole Thomas thing happens? The first thing he does is he breathes on them. He bestows the Holy Spirit on them. He wipes away all of the other junk that was in their life. He shows up, says, "Peace, be not afraid." He's wiping the slate clean. He's giving them the opportunity to ignore all the little false spirits, all the little evils that have been in their life, that the doubts, the things that led them to that room in the first place. The fear that Christ was gone, that it was over, that it was meaningless. He's wiping all of that clean and showing them truth, bestowing the Holy Spirit on them. And then today, in the gospel, he tests that spirit. At the end of the gospel reading, we have this whole situation with Peter. Simon, do you love me?
You know I love you.
Simon, do you love me?
You know I love you.
Simon, do you love me? Stop asking me that. Do you get the joke that's in that little story? It's a wording problem. In English, we see, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. In Greek, we see, Simon, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I phileos you. Simon, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I phileos you. Simon, do you phileos me? Yes, Lord, you know I phileos you. Those two words have different meanings. Phileos is friendly love. It's to tolerate something. It's to get along with something, to care for something to a point. Agape is deeper. Agape is love for love's sake. Agape is love simply because the other thing exists, the other person exists. It's the love God has for us. And that's what Jesus keeps asking Peter today. Can you do that? And Peter comes up short. He comes up short. And yet, even though he came up short, God will still send him out. Christ will still send him out. Even though he came up short, he will be the rock on which the church is founded. To wrap it up, that's great news for us. Because no matter how hard we try, we are going to come up short. In the next year, two, three, four, five, whatever, changes are going to happen. Things will occur here. There will be growth. There will be frustrations. There will be backbiting at times. There will be gossip. There will be good moments, there will be bad moments, there will be all that stuff. But just as Peter is still used by God for the betterment of the gospel, so we are promised that we will be. The Holy Spirit is here, trying really hard to hit us upside the head and help us to recognize that Spirit above all others. My prayer for us is that we do that. That we recognize that the changes we are trying to do, the impact that we are trying to make in this community will not be easy. And I know some of you right now are thinking, well, duh, Pastor Chris, of course it won't be easy. That's just it. You think that, but in the midst of it is when we're going to turn around and say, man, this is hard. Somewhere in there, not from me, obviously, somewhere in there is a word that someone in this room needs to hear. I don't know which word it was. But my hope and my prayer is that slowly but surely we come to realize that this isn't about us. This isn't about maintaining anything specific here. This is about the gospel. This is about Christ. This is about spreading that word and living that love, that agape, in this world. Okay? Say okay so the pastor wraps it up. Let us pray.
Oh, holy God.
You come to us in... And sometimes it's clear, and sometimes it's a little more rambling. But we know that you are at work. In this time, in this place, we know that you are with us. We know that somewhere in the midst of the chaos of our world, in the midst of brokenness and pain, your Spirit of light and truth speaks to us. We ask you, God, to help us be mindful of that, to listen for your word, to listen for your Spirit, and to set other evil temptations aside, to recognize that you have called to truth, to honesty, to respect. We ask you to bless the work that we do, to help us do the work that you have called us to. to be mindful at all times and in all places that you are God, and we are merely instruments which you can use to your purpose. We pray this, God, trusting in you